Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, kids, thanks for being a part of our service here. Why don't you get with your leaders, and we're going to let our kids head on back and continue to have some more fun. So glad that you could be in this space with us. And as all of our pastors on stage have pointed out, if you're a guest with us today, it's not really a normal day, although this is kind of a normal day for our kids' ministry. This is what your kids will experience week in and week out. What we're going to do at this time is we are going to do some cheering, and we're going to do noise making, and it's okay to use your mouth to make noise when we cheer. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Like, you can actually, yeah, I heard it over here. What was a whoop whoop? Yeah? We're okay doing that. What we're going to roll through, and when we do, I want you to make noise with your noisemakers. I want you to cheer. What we're going to be cheering is all the things that God has done for our church just in the last 12 months. Now, we pulled basically just a snapshot, because when we began pulling all this data, we really would have stood here for an hour trying to tell you about all the cool things that God has done. So we pulled together a real snapshot, and I'm going to put up the details of this. And after each one, I just want you to applaud and cheer what God has been doing. My friend David Dow, who Joseph mentioned last week, who does all the sketch note stuff, I asked him to sketch this out in a form. So this is not my handwriting. This is David's sketches. So let's do this together. Let's roll through these stats. This year, in the last 12 months, you guys as a church have given $436,226.86. That's what you've given here. Yeah. So the question becomes, what did we do with it? What did God do with it? What are the things that kind of happened? So let's roll through some things really quickly. Let's look at events. So one of the first events that we put on as we got into the school year last year was the Fall Festival event. And if you're new, you may or may not be aware of that event. But we were planning and we were saying, hey, look, if we get 300 or 400 people to show up from the community, that would be a big success for us. And then catch this, it's on the screen. We didn't get 300 or 400 people. We got 900 people that showed up for that day. Yeah, that was a really great day. And so then the next big event that we did a breakfast with Santa, where we invited people in the community, invited our church to come and hang out with us and have a breakfast with Santa. And we had 248 people. That's all the slots we had. Every slot that we had, we filled up. We could have done more. So 248 for that, right? Then you kind of roll into some church service type things just around the calendar. And the first one that came was we had a Christmas Eve service that was here. Many of you were a part of that. And, you know, we filled up way more chairs than are sitting here right now. We moved all the curtains out in this room. We packed this room for Christmas Eve service, which was phenomenal. Yeah, we can cheer that. Then on Good Friday, if you were here part of our Good Friday service, that was an incredible, amazing service. We set up completely different. We put everything in the center. We put everybody around it. And we packed this room for a Good Friday service, which was awesome. And then 2 days later, on Easter, we had every chair that we owned out on the floor here. And we know as a staff because we had to move them. Every chair we owned. And we packed this room for two services on Easter. Packed room for Easter. So that was just crazy stuff. Now, those are events, but let's talk about life impact and how what you did impacted people's lives. Just give you a quick snapshot. So if you're new to church, when people come to Christ, and we're a little different here, we want to make sure that you've been walking with Christ, and if you are, we want you to be baptized. And so this year, we baptized 12 people, which was a good time. Yeah, we can celebrate all 12 of those. Some of you were a part of that, and that's awesome. I see Elizabeth over here. She was one. That was great. So 12 people. Then we did a ladies retreat where we pulled ladies together to talk about what it means to be made as a woman and God in their life. And we had to move to a larger facility to be able to accommodate all of that. And then so we filled up, and we filled up that whole ladies retreat with ladies that were here. That's a good thing. And in the fall, we have a men's retreat, what we call it Ultimate Men's Weekend. We get together, we do guy stuff, we do adventure stuff, but we talk about what it means to be a guy. And we absolutely, we packed that out. We packed it out. We can't hold any more people in that. So we have now moved, and the weekend that Pastor Joseph was standing on stage here, he said we have one slot for. It's gone now, so I'm sorry. You're too late. We're actually going to look to see, can we get some camping spots? That one is already jam-packed, and it is twice as many people as we took to the last one. So those are all great because we know that that impacts people's lives. And then the one that really, really is important to us, because this is how you build friends and get connected, we added 50% more life groups this last year than what we had in 2017. Yeah. Phenomenal stuff. Real quick on outreach stuff. You may or may not be aware, we do a weekly podcast where we just podcast our messages on here, and people listen in a lot of different ways. But we can see all the stats from how many times something's listened to, how many people have done it, and how many listen. And when I pulled the statistics for this, I had to like double check and make sure that the numbers were right. The impact that we have had just through our audio podcast. Now, keep in mind that we're a church of about 500 people. This is how many people have listened in the last 12 months to our podcast. That blows my mind right there. And so then we also started, you know, we feel like we have grown together. We walk together in Christ. We're ready to open our doors to the community and begin inviting our community. So we began that in force this fall. And you guys have been inviting people. We've been doing numerous things in here. And we've had 225 first-time guests in the last 12 months, which is why we're growing. Which is going to lead to some of the other statistics that I want to talk to you about. But one of those is the coffee ministry. I just thought it would be fun just to figure out our coffee ministry that we run in here, what they've been doing. And so you guys have drank 3,328 cups of coffee in the last year. You have eaten 2,496 donuts or muffins. You have gained 10,400... No, I'm kidding. But also we collect donations over there, and we give to a lot of different ministry efforts. So people going on missions trips, other missions organizations, even given to cancer research, because we got a number of people here in our church that are going through different cancer. And we gave away we give all that money away to camp sponsorships and everything else. We've given away $5,200 that you guys gave to drink all that coffee over there, which is phenomenal. And then inside of our family ministry, we alluded that our church is growing tremendously. But our family ministry, which is our kids all the way through students, our family ministry, this is specifically just our kids' numbers, just our babies through elementary, we have grown by 69% this year over last year. That's crazy. And to give it to you in a practical term, this is probably the most real way that we can tell you how. When Krista told me this, I was kind of stunned. 1 year ago today, we were averaging 1 to 2 babies per Sunday. And as of last week, we are averaging 6 to 10 in every service. Yeah. So that tells me you guys are celebrating in the bedroom. That's good. All right. Just let that go. So all of that is going on. And then with our student ministry, we took 11 kids to winter camp, but then by the time we got to summer camp, we almost doubled that number, and we took 19 kids to summer camp. And yeah, let's celebrate that. And you guys gave, we were able to buy down the price of camp this year by $150. It was $150 less per student because you guys were generous and able to help us do that and take kids to camp. Now, you may be new around church, and here's something. If you're new around this church and you've been coming for less than 12 months, you're like, oh, man, I'm new. You just need to know that every pastor that you see on this stage is new. They're just as new as you are because we added a whole ton of staff in the last 12 months. So let me just walk you through some of these pictures here. So in the last 12 months, we started with Mike Parker. So we added Mike Parker, who wasn't with us a year ago, and now he is. That's our worship leader here on stage. I think the funniest story about that is someone asked me a few weeks ago if we had hired a new worship pastor. And I was like, what? I mean, they've been gone for a couple of months, and they'd come back, and it was like, did you hire a new worship pastor? What I found out is Mike's been on this weight loss journey where he's lost 75 pounds, and they thought we had a new guy. And I said, well, kind of. So Mike Parker is here. We had him. We added Joseph McMurray, our teaching pastor. You guys have been hearing from him in the last 12 months. So he's new around here. Brad Medford, our student pastor, he's new around here. Right? George Estes, our pastoral care guy, the guy that prays with you and meets with you and all that, he's new around here. Right? And then Krista, who you saw on stage with the crazy hat and everything else running our kids' ministry, so she's our kids' pastor, she's new around in this space. And then you may or may not be aware, we have a weekday preschool during the school year for kids that are 2 through 4, and we teach them preschool Monday through Thursday. And so we have a new director who was new this year as well, and that's Melanie Jackson, who joined our team and also works around in First Impressions here. So that is all the new staff. And then they wanted me to just inform you and tell you what goes on. And so when I added up, they say my hours are low. I say they're pretty accurate. I have made them spend 150 hours in staff meetings preparing for all those things that we did, and they drank 1,000 cups of coffee in doing that. So, yes, I want to celebrate all that. So guys, again, this is just a snapshot of all that God has done in our midst here. And I think that's just, that is amazing in what has happened. We are really looking forward to what happens this next year. And thank you, because you guys are generous in serving and generous in your time and talents and money and on and on and on. We're able to have a tremendous impact in this space. Well, I'm going to interview a couple of people, and we're going to talk about the impact the ministry has had on them. But let's watch this video, and then I'm going to bring someone out to interview.
And the kids ministry is just absolute joy. I was doing a Bible study one day, and it was asking me what joy I found in the day. And I was thinking about Sunday when I had all these little young ones around me with their little hands on me and sitting in my lap. And just they're a real joy.
Serving has impacted me in so many ways. It's been such a part of my life and so rewarding. I thought I would serve like once a month, and now I find myself a church for both services, eager to help wherever I'm needed. I never thought I would enjoy it as much as I do.
Hey, I'm Madeline. I work over in Discover Kids. I do the check-in over there. And Krista asked me why I like working with kids. And I said, first of all, that the pay is fantastic. And second of all, I love that kids can hear the truth. My own children, I tell them, I'm a mother of three, and I tell them that they don't hear it from the internet, they don't hear it from their friends, they hear it from their dad and me, and they hear it from people that are living the truth. And that's what I found at Next Level. I love that my kids can hear the truth.
So I've been with the middle school girls now for a number of years. And for me, what keeps me coming back and doing it year after year is knowing that they really just want somebody to be there and show up and have another adult to form a connection with. And for me, it was actually this past fall when one of my girls came up to me and said, you know, so-and-so's not here, this one's not here either, but you know, you're still here, and thank you. And so for me to know that there's just that you give and you give and you're not sure if what you give makes an impact, but then when you have a girl come up and tell you that, you know that you really are pouring into their lives. So that's why I do it.
So I have on stage with me, this is Adam Brooks, who is a volunteer and serves in our First Impressions area. He also serves in our kids, Next Level Kids, doing the fourth and fifth grade kids over there. And I asked Adam to come and just share with us a couple of things about his experience in serving. And so, Adam, why don't you just tell us what serving and volunteering, what it has meant to you and what it's done for you?
I was really looking forward to being interviewed with you in the slash hat with rain coming down on the screen, like a November rain moment or something.
Yeah, sure. That would work really well. Yeah, welcome to the jungle.
Yeah.
So,
I've been coming to Next Level for a number of years, and when I started, I really wanted to do something different. You know, just not the same way I had not really gotten well connected with my prior church. And so immediately started volunteering. I started working with First Impressions. I just thought that was a good place to kind of get started and meet people. And then after around a year, there was a need with the kids ministry, and I got plugged in there just to sort of help. And, you know, I'm a kind of a big kid in some ways, so it was great to get in there and I play, you know, and we have a good time. And over time, that sort of developed to where this is my home church, and this is my community, and I want every kid to have a great experience. I just want them to come in. They're new. They don't know everybody. They're a little nervous. They come in. They have fun, and they want to come back. And then when you come in the door, we want you to feel welcome. If you're new, we want you to come in and just feel like, wow, you know, they're really excited to have me here. And that's sort of how I got plugged in.
I love it. And I shared this in the first service. I think one of the neatest things that I see, especially with you, working with those fourth and fifth grade kids, you have become such an adult leader for them that you're a friend to them. And I will see you standing out in the sidewalks and things, and I see these fourth and fifth grade kids come in and they high-five you or they fist bump you. And I just think, man, that's where it's at, that these kids see that. Can you share with everyone that's here, they don't have the privilege of knowing what's going on over there. I got the joy while I had summer break of going and visiting and being with all the different kids' classrooms. But could you tell them kind of what does that look like when you're over there serving?
Yeah, they did it on the way in. They really like to hurt me. So I put my hand up and just see it. Hardest one.
Exactly.
And they enjoy hurting me. No, but we, you know, the experience over there is, look, there's sort of a plan. There's a message. There's a great couple of videos. They dance. I mean, how much fun was that with the kids down here today, you know, dancing, having a great time? They do that over there. We take that message back to the classroom. We make up some games. Sometimes I follow that sheet, and sometimes I just make stuff up, you know.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, I mean, I go off script all the time,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, yeah, and it's good because they get to they learn the messages of God. They build relationships with each other. And sometimes we're able to, you know, ask them what's going on with them. What do they need prayer about? And just make sure that they feel like it's not just games, that they have a relationship that they're building.
Yeah. I thank you for what you do. Yeah, every fourth and fifth grade kid that has come through there, I mean, you've had an impact on their life, and I just want to thank that. Hey, can you guys give Adam a hand for being here? One of the other ministries that we have here that you may or may not be aware of, we have something called an auto repair ministry, and it's that garage that you see in this parking lot over there. That garage is totally dedicated to working and doing repairs for single moms in our community. So single moms will come to us, and you know, they don't have the resources to be able to pay for the repairs on their cars, because many times the labor is more than the parts, right? And so we got a whole team of guys that work with, and that ministry has been growing and growing and growing as they work on these ladies' cars. And then we have people that sit and listen to these mom stories, and now we've added one more layer onto that, to where we are doing haircuts for the kids when they come in, you know, free haircuts, so our hairstylists are donating their time. So let's watch this quick video, introduce you, and then I'm going to interview somebody from that ministry. I think, guys, one thing I want to celebrate, did you see that last number? We have saved single moms this year $60,000. I think that is amazing to me. Well, I got on stage with me, I got Denise Davis here with me, whose husband is apparently in the back running the tech booth, so there we go. Yes, she has fans. Denise gets the honor, the privilege. The guys work on the cars, and while they're working on the cars, Denise is the primary person that sits with these ladies while their cars are being repaired. So she gets to hear their stories, she gets to pray with them. And a lot of these stories, guys, are heartbreaking. They are tough to hear. And so sometimes it's the only space where they get to tell their story. And so she gets to hear this. So Denise, as you're talking about this, I asked you a couple of questions. The one I wanted you to share was, what kind of impact has working with this ministry had on you?
Well, I think I'm less selfish than I was. You know, when you serve other people and you spend your time thinking about them instead of yourself, it changes you. And I'm grateful for that. Right. And it's kept me centered. You know, I went through a really rough time several years ago, and I wasn't listening to God. I wasn't listening to Him tell me who I was. I was listening to the people that were out there that were unkind and hurtful. And then finally He got through to me, and I'm so grateful for that, because I would miss out on so much. I love this ministry. I love the women, even the rough days. You know, and God calls us to serve. I mean, Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters, you do for me. And, you know, I want to stand in front of Him someday, and I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that, and we all do. I mean, that's what life's about.
And I love that you bring up this point, because in Scripture it talks a lot about helping the widows and the orphans, which was a big issue in their day. I think in our time, our widows and orphans, if you would say, are the single moms that are in our society. They don't really have anyone else, and are really, I love not only that they're getting their cars worked on, that you're over there, you know, hearing their stories and talking with them, praying with them. You shared with us in the first service a story, just a real brief story of the impact that this has had on one of the ladies here, and I want you to be able to share that.
You never know what's going to happen. And we had a woman come in June, young pregnant mom. The guys pulled her cart in, and after they pulled the car in, they called me into the garage. She had nearly no brakes. I mean, it had to have been God that kept her there and got her safely to us. And it was so horrible because, and I'm not a mechanic, so I've learned from the guys, but a brake pad was missing. The caliper was digging into the rotor, so that both of those pieces need to be replaced. But all of the brake pads, all four tires were bad. We had to replace rotors, drums, everything. And the really sad part is, she just bought that car a couple weeks before, so the person that sold her that car, he knew. Brakes don't go bad that fast.
Right, and I think the scary thing about that is Dave, one of the guys that runs that over there, he's like, I don't know how this car stops. Mm-hmm. That's what he's like. This car should not stop. Yeah. And but I think the neat thing is when she drove away, though.
She drove away in a safe car.
She did.
Very safe car.
And you guys do that over and over and over. Yeah. Thanks, Denise. Do you guys give Denise a hand? Thank you. Well, what I want to do with a little bit of time that we got remaining, I just want to talk to us about what Jesus would have to say about what we do around this space. And when I was preparing for this day, I really began to think once again, how well you do what you do. You know, I've been a part, I'm 48 years old, I've been a part of a lot of different churches, and you guys do church, if you want to call it that. We do life, we do relationship with Jesus so well in this space. And I think the one word that describes who we are and what we do, it's actually a word that Jesus used when he was praying about this. This is this word here, the word one. That this place is so focused on one mission, so focused on one thing, and that is to see people set free in Jesus. And you guys do that better than any other church that I've ever been at and served at, and you continue week after week after week to do it. And this is why some of you who've only been coming for a few weeks, or maybe you've been coming a few times, this is why when you walk into this place, that there's something in you that says, I don't know, it just feels different. I don't know, it just feels exciting. There feels like something is going on here because there is just this oneness. And the interesting thing is, this is a prayer that Jesus prayed for us as the church, that he prayed, and in this prayer, he's talking about the disciples, but then he prays a prayer about you, about me, about us, and what his desire for us would be. And I want to spend just a few brief moments looking at what that is. So if you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 17. And this is what Jesus was praying. He said in John chapter 17, my prayer is not for them alone. Now the them that he's talking about in here are the disciples, because the disciples are standing there. He said, my prayer is not just for those disciples. I pray also for those who will believe. And the those who will believe is you and me. Jesus is praying for us. He saw us at this time. I'm not praying just for the disciples. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be, and what's the word there? One. That they may be one. He's praying for a oneness of purpose, a oneness of mission, a oneness that says, I get it. I understand what it is that we are to be about. That Jesus had a mission, and if we can be one around that same mission, this is what Jesus is praying about. So I pray that they may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So we are one. We're not going and spending sideways energy. We are focused on the same thing. I want the same thing for them. But may they also be in us. May they also share our purpose. May they be one in the thing. The whole reason, Father, that I came to seek and save that which was lost, to bring people, to set people free, to show people that it's not about religion. I pray that they would be in us so that, here's the result, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, Heavenly Father, I pray that they will be so together on mission, so together on purpose, so together on looking out and saying, look, there are people that need to be set free. There are people who need to find life and life to the full, that they will be so focused on that, that when people see that oneness, when people see that focus, when people see why they really do care, they really do love. I don't understand why they serve like they deserve. I don't understand why they give how they give. I don't understand their level of generosity. But when they see it, the thing that would happen would be that they would believe. They would believe that God sent Jesus. And here's what's really important about that as I think about it. If we as a church get this right, people will believe. Jesus is saying, if we get this right, if we become one in purpose and one in mission, people will believe. People will be set free. People will find life. Not the doldrums that they're in, not the things that they're going through, not all the striving that they're doing, that if we will do this, people will believe. That if we will get this right, people who never wanted to go to a church and never thought they would be in a church, they would actually be a part of a church. People who thought that they would never believe what we believe, that would never be a part of that, they begin to believe what we believe. People that would never crack open a Bible and begin to read God's word would begin to read God's word because we are one in purpose and because we are caring about the people that Jesus cared about. If we do this, Jesus says, people will believe. Now, the opposite is also true. If we get this wrong, we become the reason people don't believe. When we get off task, when we get off mission as a church, when we begin worrying about things that don't matter and talking about things that don't have any kind of impact and bickering and fighting about things, we become the reason that people don't believe. In other words, for some of you, the reason that you're not a church person, if you're honest, if we were to sit down, the reason that you're not a church person is because you met a church person. Right? The reason that you don't believe is because you met somebody who said they believe. The reason that you don't read your Bible is because you've met some people that say they read their Bible and they're the meanest, nastiest, most horrible people. They treat people in the worst way. And so the conclusion you came to is, I guess reading the Bible makes you a terrible human being. I don't want to go near that thing. Right? If we get this wrong, we become the reason that people don't believe. We become the reason that their faith gets undermined because we're off mission and we're off purpose. Do you know why people don't go to church these days? I'll tell you why a reason that's not true. People don't go to church because they don't know what a church is. Right? It's like, well, I don't know what that thing is. Oh, you go to church? What's that? I mean, they don't ride up and down our street here and go, next level ka-cha-ka-cha. I don't know what that is. Right? The reason that people don't go to church is because they've been to one. The reason that they're no longer in church is because they grew up in one. And they grew up in one that got it wrong, that got off mission, that got off task, didn't care about people, didn't care about the mission to see people grow and become set free, like truly set free. They got onto some other kind of thing, and maybe that's your story. Maybe that's why you walked away. You know, that's many of our stories here at Next Level. But when a local church gets this right, it doesn't mean that everybody automatically believes, but there's something attractive that says, you know what, I think I want to come back. I think I want to hang around with these people. And all of a sudden, people are sticking who never thought they would stick in a church. What's interesting, when you read in Scripture, people who were nothing like Jesus were attracted to Jesus. And when a church gets this right, people who are nothing like Jesus will be attracted to us as well. Because there's something attractive about being centered around this one thing. And now I got to say, for those of you who have been here for a while, who serve, who volunteer, you do this better than any other church that I've ever been a part of in my life. You do a fantastic job And for some of you, this is the reason that when you showed up here at church because somebody invited you, and I don't know how you got here, you pulled into the parking lot, you had one foot on the brake and a parachute ready to fly out the back, and you told your wife, you told her husband, say, hey, the moment something weird or funky happens, I'm out of here and I'm never coming back, you know, and you pulled in. And then you came into a service, and all of a sudden it wasn't what you expected, and the people weren't what you expected, and they seemed kind of normal. And then everything came and went, and there was something inside of you that just went, ah. You know why that is? Because we're one in purpose with what the Father wants to see take place. We are one about this. And when people begin to experience where your heart is, when they begin to experience the reality of, yeah, my story is safe here, that I can share what's going on in my past, I can share most of my embarrassing things, the things that I regret and all of that, and I've never gotten judgment here, and I've gotten people to go, yeah, yeah, me too. Let me tell you how I've worked through that and how I've got through that. When we do that, people change. And you get people come in and say, well, I never thought I'd be a church person, and now you're a church person. I never thought I would believe, and now you believe. I never thought I'd read my Bible, and now you read your Bible. Because we get this right. And again, if you volunteer around here, if you're generously giving of your time, and you're giving of your abilities, and you give of your money, you are the reason that we continue to do this. There's a phrase that is used a lot of times to describe the church, and maybe you've heard it, and it is that the church is the body of Christ. And there's some scripture behind that in the book of Ephesians, and if we had time, we'd walk through it. But the church is referred to as the very body of Christ. And because of that, the closest that anyone will ever get to being in the presence of Jesus Christ is being in the presence of a church that gets it right. That the closest anyone will ever get to the presence of Jesus is being in a group of Christians who are getting this right. That when they come into work and they encounter you at work, or they encounter you on the ball field or the dance studio or wherever it is that you go, that you bring the very presence of Jesus Christ. And when you're doing that, that's as close as someone may get to being in the presence of Jesus. And this is why some of you would say to your story that I alluded to, again, you came to church, you had both feet on the brake, you came with a bad attitude, admitted bad attitude, this is going to stink, this is horrible, I'm not going to do it, and now all of a sudden you find yourself volunteering. Why is that? Because you guys are so good at getting it right. You're so good at doing the things that are there. And in fact, some of you, you showed up here at our church, and it's like, no way am I going to participate, no way am I going to do. And after one service, you were bawling and crying. And I know, because you walked up to me and you said, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't even believe what you believe. It's because you were in the presence of Jesus. And this happened all the time in Scripture, all the time. And it's what we get to experience every single week, week in and week out here at Next Level Church. When people come into the presence of Jesus, there is something that begins to happen. Now again, for some of you, it's your story. Every time we get a baptism story, it pretty much follows the same pattern. Yeah, someone invited me to church, or I came to church, and so I pulled into the parking lot. When I got in the parking lot, I was greeted by somebody at the door. Then that somebody led me over to the welcome desk, and then they got me going. And then that somebody took my little somebodies, and we went over into the kids area, and they checked my little somebodies in with somebody. And then that somebody sat and taught my little somebody some things that we came home and we talked about. Or we went into the middle school area and I handed over my middle schooler, my high schooler over to somebody who then sat with my kid and walked them through the experience. Then you came back over here and somebody gave you a cup of coffee. And then someone led you to your seat. And then someone turned on the lights and someone turned on the sound. And someone came out here and played music and somebody sang. Someone walked onto this stage and they said some words. Somebody prayed for you. And then somebody and a group of somebodies helped you reverse that process all the way out of here. You see, it takes a whole lot of somebodies focused on the mission to give you that experience, to make you say, you know what? I think I can do that. I want to be a part of that. And you may not know everyone that comes in this space, and they may not know you, but we get the stories every single week. We get stories that, hey, I came in and I wasn't quite sure, but I started connecting and I made a decision to go home. And you know, I called my ex-wife. I called my ex-wife and I began to apologize about some things. Or I was there and it just being in the presence of that church, I called my dad. I haven't talked to my dad in 8 years, and I called him up and I just began to have a conversation with him. Or I went home and I realized, I told my wife, I said, I haven't been what I need to be with the kids, and so I'm just going to set aside work and I'm going to put some time and I'm going to play with the kids. Or a wife that would come in and say, look, you know, because of that, I thought that marriage was dead and gone and I wasn't going to work on it, and I decided I'm going to give it another try. You see, we hear these stories every single week. And every single one of those stories is true and real, and there's an actual person behind each one of those. And it's because you guys have chosen to be somebody for somebody. And you do this so well. So here's my ask as we're starting to wrap up. If you're here in this space, we need you to be somebody for somebody in this body. We need every single one of you to be somebody for somebody in this body. It takes a lot of bodies. And we have been on a massive growth curve, and I don't think God's going to stop. And we need you to play a role, to come in, to be somebody for somebody so that they can find freedom, so they can find what it really truly means to not have a religious experience with God, but a relational experience with God. We need you. In our kids' ministry, we have grown. And guys, this is not the walls are caving in and everything's bad. I just want you to know what's going on over there. We need 14 people right now. We need 14 more somebodies in our kids' area just to keep up with the pace that we're growing at. 14 people that say, you know what, I'll take all these little somebodies, and I don't know a whole lot, but I'm going to give them everything that I got so that these kids can grow up and grow in their relationship and know that God loves them, Jesus loves them, and Jesus wants to be their friend. We need 14. We need 4 more people to be somebody for our middle schoolers. We need to come up and spend time with our middle schoolers. Say, you know what, I'm going to be somebody for these middle schoolers. I know that your body is changing. I know things are going on. I've been through that. Can we sit and can we talk? And we need 4 more somebodies to spend time with our middle schoolers. And we need 3 more somebodies to work with our high schoolers. To come in and say, hey, I get it. The big world is scary. You're about to make some decisions about what you're going to do and where you're going to go, and you don't know what you're going to do. And you have the potential to make life-altering decisions right now, some good, some bad. Can I walk you through that? We need 3 more somebodies to help us as our ministries are growing. There's a whole other host of areas that make things go on, first impressions and coffee and security. And I mean, there's all kinds of options in the lobby. I just wanted to share about these because we need these bodies. And we need you to be somebody for somebody. And here's the deal. If you love Next Level Church, I promise you, if you begin serving, you're going to love it even more. And everybody here that serves will tell you that. Like, yeah, man, we liked it, but then we started serving, and we really like it. I want you to wake up every Sunday morning and be so excited that you can come and be somebody, invest into somebody. I want you to think, and I can't wait for Sunday so that I can get in there so I can invest. I want that for you. Because that's what our volunteers get to experience. And I want you to be somebody for somebody. When you came in, there was a card that was sitting on your chair. And I just want to challenge you. We're going to sing a song together. I want you to reflect on this. I want you to think and ask the Holy Spirit, do you want me to be somebody for somebody in this local body? And all of our core ministry areas are set up out here in the lobby. And I want you to pray about it. And you don't have to know what you're doing, and you don't have to be a skilled worker. We'll do all that for you. We won't throw you in a room with crayons and say, good luck. We will train you. Right? I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, do I need to be somebody? I want it for you. I want you to be somebody. Be somebody's shelter. Be somebody's friend. Be somebody's place of refuge. So when we're done with the service, I'm going to ask you to go back out there, but I want you to pray through as our band comes and leads us in the song. So Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would move, Holy Spirit, all across everyone that is here, that you would press upon us how and when and where we need to be somebody. God, thank you that we are so on mission. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw others in even now. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.